All right, crew, happy whatever day you're listening. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening, whenever it is. I'm happy you're here. We're back. Welcome to Well Said Podcast. At per usual, I'm Sid, if you forgot who I am. Or if you're new here, I'm happy that you're here. And we have someone very exciting here today, Mason. He's here. He's on the mics. You can say what's up.
Hello, everybody.
They're going to get used to your voice now. And Sid Samborski's in the house too. Mason and Sid are siblings. Sid also works at Lifetime with me in Minnesota. And I'm hyped for this episode because I'm hyped for people to learn about you. And even though I feel like I know you secondhand, Mason and I went to the Timberwolves game the other night. We went with the whole crew. Your whole fam was there, by the way. They're the nicest humans ever. But I want to hear about you and your perspective. And immediately when I started getting to know Sid, who's my friend, by the way, that's confusing. Sid and Sid. Yes. Sid squared. we were talking and I want to learn about her life. I learned about her brother. I learned about all this change. And she's also got so much great perspective on life. And I know that you do too, because you've had a lot of change, a lot of different things happen. So why don't we just get into it?
Got to start from the top here so that people know what's happening.
I know. Who are you? What the heck? What's your full name? Where are you going to school? What are you doing? What's your age? Like, give them a mini like elevator.
My name is Mason Brandstrader. I'm 20 years old now, and I became a paraplegic at 17. And that's kind of like when my life started. January 18th, 2021, I was going out for a normal day of downhill skiing and got out of the car, like, rushed to get my boots on. I was super excited for the day and everything, ran and got over to the top of the hill. And like, little did I know that'd be the last time that I would run. I got my boots on and got my skis, looked down the hill, and I was like, I knew what I was going to do. I wanted to go off this one jump that I'd gone off 1,000 times. It was a normal day, normal thing. And as I got to the end of the jump, I thought like, I'm going a little bit fast. And at that point, everything just went black. And the next thing I remember, I woke up in the ICU.
Oh, wow.
And they said, you'll probably never walk again. It felt like a dream, you know, for like days. And then things started to get real when the doctors kept coming in and telling me like, you'll probably never walk again. Like, you need to take this seriously. And I was like, oh, like, this is like for real. My parents informed me that I had gone off the jump and gone like about 20 feet past where I should have landed and rotated on my back and landed on my back and broke my T12, which is like right at the waist level, which left me a paraplegic like right at that time. The ambulance came and rushed to the hill, got me off really quickly. I had surgery that night and I was in the ICU for about a week after that until I flew to my rehab hospital. But at that time, like in the ICU, like I was a 17-year-old kid. I was lost and like confused at what had really just happened. Like, I didn't even know what paralysis was or anything like that. Like, it was all just foreign to me. And so when the doctors came in and they're like, you'll probably never walk again. Like, you're going to have to use a wheelchair. I was like, I bet. Like, I'll just take the wheelchair. I was like, fine. Like, I'll just be in a wheelchair then, you know, like I didn't know really like what that entailed at all. And I slowly found out over the past like 3 years, and my life's just like kind of blossomed from there. And like, truly at this point, like it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because I can't really remember anything super impactful and valuable that happened before that point. Like I started meeting all these new people. Just like my journey really began, and I'm really excited to share that with you all today.
Holy crap. First of all, you are so well-spoken, 20 years old, 20-year-old me would be looking at you like, what the heck? Who is this guy? The heck is that? You're amazing. And you talk about your life blossoming after something so honestly traumatic happened to you, which is just insane to me. And I feel like people are listening, including myself, and we're like, How does someone think about that? Like, even when I've got a bad day and like someone makes my coffee wrong, not today because I made mine today, but someone at Starbucks makes my coffee wrong, you feel bad for yourself and you feel like you like bring yourself down. You get in your head, you know, like even the tiniest little things in life, yeah. And you're taking this huge thing that happened that changed your trajectory and you're like, yeah. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me because I've created impact and seen impact. And that's like what I want to know about and what I want to hear about. I wrote down words. And when Mason and I and Sid were texting a little bit earlier, I was like, these are the words that come to mind when I think of what I want to talk to you about. It's like purpose, self-comparison, and then like adjusting to emotions and like finding new value and new reason. Right. And that's like all the things I want to talk to you about. I want to just hear about like the stages of emotion. Cause obviously your story and how you got to where you are right now is a huge deal, but it's also about like everything that's happened since. So I just want to go back to it for a second. Like, can you talk to us about the stages of your emotions through when right before, like kind of who you were before. And then the stages of that after leading up to like 3 years, AKA right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So before I was really like this, like happy-go-lucky kid, like I would always try to involve people and bring people up, and I was taking on other people's problems because I didn't have any of my own. And I was like, you know, why wouldn't I just try to help as many people as possible? And that was kind of like always my goal in life. And it got to the point where I was talking to my dad actually like 2 days before my injury. And I was saying like, Dad, what reason do people have to like listen to me? Like, I'm just this like privileged kid, privileged white male, you know, like what perspective am I going to bring to the world? And then like all this happened, you know? And so like that was crazy. And when it happened, I was just, you know, young and like, I had no idea what was going on. I was in disbelief. Once I realized that everything was real, I was like, all right, it's time to be resilient and to like take control over what's happening and do everything that I can to set myself up for success. And like, I don't know, it was just like a big unknown, you know? So I was just trying to do the best that I could in that moment. And I think like when you have such a big thing that happens in your life, things become like really clear at that point. Like when there's little things that piss you off, you're just kind of like, you can be mad about it and then you just go about your day. But like some, like breaking your back, becoming paralyzed, becoming a wheelchair user requires a whole shift in perspective of like how you're going to deal with something. I was laying in the ICU and I was like, all my friends are like going about their lives. Like everybody's doing their stuff. Like everything around me was like moving on and I was just stuck. And I was like, I can either stay stuck in this bed and feel sorry for myself and just be like really down on everything, or I can take like this as an opportunity and I can use it for good. I can like, well, at that point, I didn't really know I was going to help other people, but I was like, I only have one option, is like to be positive and to be resilient. So that's what I chose, just like to smile and be positive.
How long did it take you to like actually implement that and make it like your reality? Like, was it immediate? Was it like, oh my God, I'm dipping out of and back into like, I'm really, really down. I'm back up. I'm going to, you know, have a good perspective. I'm down again. You know, like how long did it take to be like, no, I'm gung ho and I'm going to not feel bad for myself and I'm going to go forward.
Honestly, like I still struggle in some regards with that. And like, that's the ongoing battle of life, like whether or not you're going to take things positively or negatively and make opportunities out of your situation or just like let them defeat you. But I think like from a being positive perspective, I've always kind of been positive and I continue to like become more of that and embody more of that. Like, why wouldn't you just like want to make other people smile and like try to help other people and be happy yourself? Like, but at the same time, like, you know, I still go through struggles like with things. I try to let go of everything that's outside of my control. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that has gone wrong, like with my body and so forth, like after a spinal cord injury, it's a lot more than just being in the wheelchair. And it's like all that stuff is just out of my control. So like, what reason do I have to hang on to it?
Yeah. Why would you obsess over something you can't change?
Exactly.
What would you say your biggest challenge is? Like maybe I should ask this as two parts. Like your first off, your biggest challenge that you saw that you maybe overcame. And then maybe now, what is your biggest challenge, do you think?
What are my biggest challenges?
Because everybody has challenges, right? Like everyone, and they're hidden sometimes. And sometimes they seem so small to a blind eye, to somebody that doesn't know you, right? Like, so I like to give people like, look, I have challenges I'm battling right now too. Like even the smallest thing, if you're like, this little tiny thing is frustrating me, but I'm going to get through it because I know I can, because I changed my mindset.
Honestly, my biggest challenges are just like being organized, like with my time. And like, there's so many different variables with a spinal cord injury and being in a wheelchair that you have to like really focus up and like get everything in line. Like I made it to all my classes, but like, was I a few minutes late? Like, yeah, like maybe. Did the teacher think that I needed that? Like maybe, like, but I think like being organized like that is definitely like a big challenge after a spinal cord injury. And like all my friends in wheelchairs get it, you know, or like, I'm like, yeah, dude, like I'm already like 20 minutes late. And he's like, oh, trust me. Like, I know, you know, like,
we all are.
Yeah. It's just a wheelchair thing. And like we get, you know, we can get away with it. So I think like one of my biggest challenges in this situation is like people give me leeway that like probably necessarily like don't really need, but people think that I do. And everybody's standards have been lowered so much more for me now that I've gone through this, and my standards for myself are like super high. So that really frustrates me that other people set like a lower bar for me. And I'm like, why? Like, just because like I'm in a wheelchair, like, shouldn't I be expected to do like just as much? And like now what I've been doing is like just as much or more than like all the people around me. And that's like personally not enough for me. But I think there's a lot of people that like go through challenges and tribulations that like, and then the people around them like give them extra leeway when really like they're looking for like people to keep them honest. I don't know.
I love that. No, I love that take. Honestly, I was like, yeah, they want you to keep you honest. They want you to just like be pushed forward. That's like what I think people want.
Totally.
So you talk about, you come home, you obviously have all of these changes. Like, how did you get into a new schedule and not get like, I mean, you get frustrated, but you pull yourself back out. But like, tell me about your new schedule, because life right before and right after are probably completely polar opposite. Even your space probably had to change.
Totally.
What was that all like? And what did that entail?
The space changing, luckily, like I was fortunate to have my rehab hospital and like my family take care of that for me, and they pretty much got it all figured out. But as far as the biggest unknowns, like in my journey, and I've really grown into like, I'll get to this, but the biggest unknowns in my journey were going home the first time. And, actually even leaving the hospital.
Really?
Leaving the hospital for the first time, it was like I was an inpatient and then I moved to outpatient, and that was so scary. It was like just down the block at a hotel. And I was like, I had no idea what that was going to be like, because like my parents were going to be like my main caregivers at that point. I'm completely independent now and I don't need anybody, but like I was still relying on them. And then the biggest unknown was going home for the first time and just not knowing what your life is going to look like is like really scary, and like how like just everyday things are going to take place. And since both of those things, I settled in and I was like, oh, like this isn't so bad. It's not such a big deal. And like, those were the two scariest things probably like in my life, or biggest unknowns. Like obviously my accident was, you know, that was the first one. It was like,
of course,
holy shit. Like what's the rest of my life going to look like now? And after going through all those, now I'm just like so excited to like take on new challenges and like anything, because I know I'll be able to handle it. And I know I'm going to be able to navigate through the unknown. And like, if things go wrong, I'm prepared, and just being confident in my ability to problem solve has really been like a big thing that the accident's given me.
Yeah.
So
I feel like purpose, like in a way, like the word keeps coming up in my brain. It like purpose, like saved you and your perspective and like how you move forward. You were like, I have purpose. Like I know that I'm going to find that my perspective is going to change, and I'm going to like use this for good. And I'm not going to make excuses for myself, and I'm just going to move forward. And at 17, 18, 19 and 20, where you are right now, that is like beyond admirable. Like there's people out there that are not even nearly as mature as you are at age like 40 right now. So like, I want you to like seriously be like, holy crap, that people are listening right now. And I know they are because I just, I know what they feel and what they think, that are beyond impressed by you for so many reasons, obviously, but your maturity and like your just perspective of change is huge. What would you say to somebody right now that's like, maybe they went through something similar. Maybe it's not similar at all, but they had a lot of change in their life. Maybe it was spinal cord related or not, like to just get back on your feet, because I'm sure you have to have self-talk to yourself sometimes when you feel like you're taking steps back in your mindset.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. First of all, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And what I would say to people that kind of either feel lost or like have just gone through dramatic change in their life is the most important thing you can do is be optimistic about your situation, and being optimistic and positive will lead you to pursue opportunities that you would have otherwise said no to. And those opportunities might give you that purpose that you're looking for, you know, and you might try something or meet some people that show you what way you want to take life now. Like, people are the most important thing that I've found in my journey since my accident. And I've gotten to, this is the reason for like my crazy growth that I've had like since my accident, is because I got flown out to Colorado. I met hundreds of people out there. You know, I got to go on all these different trips and meet people with spinal cord injuries and life-changing injuries, meet people like me in my situation. And that all combined and gave me like all these different ideas in my mind of like how life could be. And I saw other people living life after my type of injury and really enjoying it. And it's like, why can't I do that? Why can't I show other people how to do that? And yeah, saying yes and taking advantage of opportunities and being okay with jumping into the unknown. Mm-hmm. Because like, if you don't, you'll never know, you know, like that's totally why they called the unknown.
Exactly. Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah.
What would you say your newfound purpose is?
My newfound purpose within the last year has really just been, I mean, I would say within the past 3 years, like I kind of always knew I wanted to share my story, but it took me up until like 2 years ago to actually be like, you know what? Like before I was doing like blogs, I was doing audio journals for myself. And I was like, it's time to like take it to social media and like see what happens. And as soon as pretty much I started putting stuff out there, I had people exactly like me, like reach out to me and be like, you've helped me like so much. Like, it's so cool to see you like out there doing it. And like for the past year, that's just like continued to blow up, and I have huge plans for the future and making like how-to videos accessible for anybody in mm-hmm. the world. Like, with spinal cord injuries, you know, it's not just like me that you see like in a manual wheelchair. There's like people in power chairs. There's people that can't even move their arms, you know, quadriplegics, paraplegics, tetraplegics. Like there's people all over the board. You can break your back anywhere and get paralyzed as much as like that entails. And so I want to one day provide resources for everybody, you wow. know, and create like a whole network that helps other people like in every situation, not just in mine.
Yeah. In so many different ways too. Yeah. Yeah. And you're in college right now.
Yes.
Where are you at?
I'm at Denver University.
Yeah. Like you guys, like, I'm just like, can you just wow me? Like everything that comes in your mouth, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even have to ask you a question because you're just so well-spoken. You just know where to take it, know where to go. And hearing you change your purpose, you're still talking about other people, which I think is just so amazing. Like you really truly know that your purpose is to help people. Like, and you know that, and none of what you're talking about is for you. It's not for your self gain. It's not for what you get. It's so that you can see the impact of other people and help other people feel abled and able bodied like you are right now. You know what yeah. I mean? And see what you're doing. So I feel like that's just going to keep pushing you to go up, up, up and away.
Hey, little poop nuggets. It's Candid Soph. I miss you guys so much. Seriously, my poop stories just don't hit the same without you. And we know change sucks and we know it's risky, but the biggest mistake you can make is being afraid you're going to make a mistake. So we honestly just trusted our gut on this one. And we miss you. Straight Candid misses you. I miss you. So with all that being said, I want to share with you guys my new adventures. You can follow my new YouTube channel. You can type in my full name, Sophie Van Sirksom, or you can check the link in my bio to subscribe to my YouTube. And any support matters right now, seriously, because I'm currently at like negative 10 subscribers. So I would love a little support. But yeah, I plan to make some shorter form lifestyle content like vlogs, some fitness content sponsored by the Basil by Soph brand, and also some long form content where we can kind of chit chat and we can hang out throughout the day too. So I'm excited. I hope you guys support and follow. But yeah, at Candid Soph on all platforms for the time being, and Sophie Van Sirksom on YouTube. But with all that, get back to it, Sid. She's just popping in. Bye, guys.
Your social media right now, you're basically telling and showing people how to do things, right? Tell us about that.
As far as like my social media goes and what I put out there, I try to recently, I've just done a lot of like informing people about spinal cord injury things, like in a funny way. Mm-hmm. And I like plan to continue to do that a lot. I was like, for a long time, it was pretty like, serious, I would say, like informational how to, or like what's going on in my life, videos. And I was like, all right, it's time to be funny. And so I like threw out a couple of those, and they were like received super well. And what surprises me most actually is how positive, like all my people are, like all my fans. And, you know, oftentimes it's a whole bunch of people that haven't even been following me. Like it'll push it out to other people. And they're just like, so like, they can, I feel like my positivity just like vibrates. What's the word?
Yeah.
Like
radiates.
My positivity just like radiates like out through my social media, which is wild. Cause it's just like through the screen and like people can even sense it there and like it all comes back to me. And so yeah, how to videos, day in the life videos, funny videos, informational videos, anything spinal cord injury, anything that has to do with the wheelchair, and obviously just me.
What are things that you learned after obviously all of this and through other people that you're seeing growing through your content? Like what are things that I should know about spinal cord injury or like anybody out there should know?
I think, gosh, I should have been more prepared for
this. It can be big. It can be little. It doesn't matter. It's your perspective.
Actually, the biggest thing that I learned just the other day was I was at a climbing thing for people with spinal cord injuries and brain injuries. And there was this guy that I thought like for sure was, I don't know, you know, just by looking at him, you would think, okay, this guy's probably not going to be able to like respond. And I saw him like communicating with some people and I was like, he's just like a normal guy. Mm-hmm. And on his way out, I was like, yo, dude, like sit climbing with you. And like, I even like dapped him up. And he was like, yeah, man, like it was a great time. And I was like, this is crazy. Like even I still in this situation had this belief that like I wasn't able to communicate with this guy. And that just goes across the board with anybody. Like there are so many people that have physical impairments or like brain injuries that you think are seriously cognitively impaired. And we're just normal people. Yeah. Like we just want to communicate just like anybody else, you know? And
yeah.
Even if people have a hard time like speaking, like if they have something with their throat or, you know, they're breathing, like it's just so many of us are just normal people and we're just packaged a little bit differently. And it's important for society to know that and know that they can talk to us and ask us things, you know, don't go up and ask us what's wrong with us. But like,
please tell me that hasn't happened.
Oh, it happens all the time. But like, and for somebody like with a spinal cord injury, you just have to take that comically, you know, I had this person like come up to me at some sort of like event thing. And she's like, what you got, my boy? And I was like, did you want like drugs? Like,
yeah, wait, what?
I was like, what do you mean? Like, do you,
what do I got?
Yeah. She's like, you tell me. Yeah, I know. I was like, what? This is crazy. So, you know, you really just have to like laugh it off. But for everybody, like just don't. just don't ask. But, and if you're in the situation, laugh it off. But
yeah. I like that a lot though. Yeah. You talk about the, it's almost like a non-judgment judgment that we accidentally have over anybody that is different from us. And the fact of the matter is everybody is different from us. So thank you for that reminder that even in your situation, you're like, whoa, I was reminded again that like, oh yeah, he can communicate and we're going to talk. And I cast a little bit of a judgment.
Totally.
How do you like, how, I guess, what's the reminder to tell people of like, don't judge and don't also maybe don't feel bad, because there's not, you don't have to feel bad for people who have an injury. They're moving forward. They're doing their life. They don't need that from you.
Yeah, totally. I'm not sure really like what else there is to say on that. Mm-hmm. I think just treat everybody like a normal person and like, we'll all get along great.
I like that. I like that a lot. I want to move into kind of like self-comparison a little bit, because I get a lot of write-ins about people feeling, you know, like they're comparing themselves, they're comparing, their lifestyle versus somebody else's lifestyle there. And I think we get caught in this a lot. Like even, I know I texted you about this, the smallest little things that we compare to each other about, or like even up to the biggest things, like I don't have that house, or I don't have this, that, or the other thing, tangible object, intangible object, does not matter for you. How are you like fighting comparison in that piece right now? Let's start there.
Obviously I'm on social media. So like I get that kind of comparison and I'd be lying if I said I didn't look at the numbers, you know,
you and I both we're guilty. We're guilty a little bit.
Yeah. Everybody's totally guilty. But I think especially like in the social media thing, the numbers will come if you're just doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And giving people what they want to see and actually listening to the people. So I think that's to be said as far as the social media aspect, like don't look at the numbers, just like do what you know people want to see.
And being like, true to yourself probably too.
Yeah. Be true to yourself as well. And the numbers will just come automatically if you're doing those things. Like in my situation, right when I got injured, and got to the rehab hospital, I quickly realized that everybody was in a different position. And everybody seemingly had it better or worse than another person. And I got really caught up in, oh, that person's like walking already. Like, why can't I be walking? Or like, my function's kind of like them. Like, shouldn't I be able to walk again just like they did? And comparing yourself like that is really, really tough on people's mental health when they're in the ICU or in rehab and trying to get better, because everybody wants what somebody else has. And you take that to like the real world. And I mean, not to say it's not the real world, but you take it outside of the rehab hospital, and it's happening everywhere. You always want something that you think is better than what you have. And you're always kind of like looking at the people that you think are below, and you're like, oh, their life must be so much worse.
Yeah.
Like in reality, that's just not how it equates. And everybody in the rehab hospital, no matter what position they're in, like they were all kind of like generally, I don't know, like you're in this life altering, they're generally unhappy, you're generally happy. You know, like everybody's just kind of the same when you take a step back and look at it. And so you really have to evaluate what, you know, this thing that you think is better would actually give you. When you really think about it, the most important thing isn't walking again, and it's not the house. It's like your family and like the people that surround you and quality time. You know, it's like those kind of things that, you know, most of us have. So
yeah, I love that a lot. Knowing what, all the things that you know now, what would you tell yourself the after coming to in the ICU, like about where you are right now?
I would say yes to everything and just like go for it. Like thinking about all the things that I've done now, none of them would have been possible if I would have given up on myself and said, this is just too much. It's over. I can't do it anymore. Like walking is everything, but I'm literally getting like chills right now too. Like I did think that walking was everything at the beginning. And as soon as I like gave up that belief that one thing could like unlock my whole life, then I started saying yes to all these opportunities. And that was actually my life. Not this one thing that I was so obsessed over that I thought I needed, to like have a good life and like move forward and all these things. And so many people get caught up on that, especially in the comparison thing. It's like, you think if you get that house, everything will start happening for you. When in reality, you obsessing over that house is preventing you from your actual life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. God, oh, so insightful. I have chills over here too. I'm like, I'm just like listening to you. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, oh my God. What do you wish people knew about you right now? Maybe they don't know it. Maybe you haven't already said it, but I like asking almost everybody that question too, just in general, because I think it sparks good conversation.
I would say the number one thing that I wish more people understood and knew was that I still struggle like with a lot of things, and like still a lot of things that I talk about. Like, it's not like you get through something and then it's over, you know, especially with an injury like this and just like being young. Like, life is full of challenges and it's hard, and the challenges and the hard things make life worth living. And so like, nobody's perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. Yeah. I think a lot of people think that I just do everything right. That could not be farther from the truth. Like, yeah, I would just say everybody's imperfect. Life is hard. Challenges are hard, but they make life like worth living.
They do. The downs make the ups worth going to and moving from. And it doesn't matter what you're battling with right now. I think it's just so healthy to know that the battles will come and go. And I think everybody thinks like you just get through something and you're on the other side and it's good and it's all cheery. But I think it's actually so healthy to sit and swallow that, like, okay, I'm going to probably have an up, and then I'm probably going to have a down, and then I'm probably going to have another up, and then I might have another down, and it's just going to keep going like that. I think even taking it a step back of like, even when I battle anxiety, right? Like, that's my kind of like kryptonite battle right now. It's not that I get through anxiety. It's not that I overcame anxiety. It's not that I'm through it and I'm over it and I'm healthy. Yes. It's that I'm prepared for the next bump that's going to come. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And every bump that I get through, I'm further supported and know how to get through the next one that's going to come. And then the bumps get a little bit less because I know that they're coming and they're not as scary anymore. And then I'm finally just kind of living this wonderful little ebb and flow of life. And I think that that can be true for anything that anybody is battling. But knowing that it's going to come up and it's going to come back down again is actually healthy. Like, perfect is not a thing. I hate to say it, people, but it's not. So it's healthy to think the way that you think. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah, I know.
Totally.
I love everybody listening to is like, you can take all of what you're saying, Mason, and apply it to anything that you're battling right now. Anything. And anything that you might battle coming up that you don't know what's coming. And that's kind of scary in itself too. But knowing and seeing you are like a shining light to people that are like, wait, that's not that scary, or that's not that hard. It's hard, but it's doable and it's movable, and I can keep my perspective high. So thank you for that, because I love this conversation. I'm like, I keep getting giddy, and I'm like, wait, said chill for a second. I want to ask you a few things, because I've been trying to enlighten myself a little bit and know a little bit more about you and your body and all these things. Can you talk about tremors and different things and how that helps you?
Yeah.
Because I think that was one of the most interesting things that I've like came across on your social media and been like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I have big plans to like share that.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, wait, we're spilling the tea a little early then.
Yeah, no, not at all. Well, okay, the situation is that, oh my gosh, I can't out myself now.
Me almost spitting out my coffee mid-laugh, okay? Don't do that.
I think generally tremor therapy is something that like hardly anybody knows about, and it's your body's ability to just naturally like induce a full body like spasm,
okay,
like tremor, and like your body is just allowed to like move like how it would want to move, and like my legs shake. That's part of spinal cord injuries. 70% of people with spinal cord injury have spasms, and a lot of times those also like have like shaking spasms where you just like see somebody's like leg shaking violently or like tapping. It's like, they're paralyzed. How are they doing that? It's a spasm. And basically what tremor therapy allows you to do is to get that movement into like the rest of your body.
Oh,
it basically just makes you more like plastic, like neuroplasticity it just heightens your levels like within your system and your body and allows your body to communicate on a different level that it wouldn't otherwise be able to.
Oh, interesting.
It's like an electric current that's running through your body. That's like, that you just kind of let happen. It's like a wild phenomenon. And I'm planning on really learning a lot more and doing a lot more of my own practice with it and seeing how it can help with my spinal cord injury.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're interested in like learning more about tremor therapy, if you look up Ken Ware Neurophysics, he's the guy that I got it from. He's in Australia. I did like a 1 hour session with the dude. He's an amazing guy. Him and his wife are both amazing. And yeah, that's where I learned about it from. There's a guy named John McClain who mm-hmm. walked after 25 years of being paralyzed.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the guy could hobble around on crutches beforehand, but he could never walk unassisted. And after he did this tremor therapy, like he was able to walk unassisted. And like he still can to this day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Have you seen change from starting to do this therapy?
It's probably pretty recently though, right? Yeah, like very minor.
Yeah. But still change is change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
How do you do it? Like, is it first thing in the morning? Do you shake your like body where you can control it and then it starts to just kind of go into it? And like how long does it last?
I mean, you can really like have it last as long as you want it to. But yeah, I'll just like do it in the morning sometimes, like loosen up.
Yeah.
Or like even like during Sid's spin class, I like did a little, just like shake my shoulders out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can just kind of like, it's great. You know,
it feels
like,
good.
Yeah, yeah. It feels great. That. Like,
yeah. And you were in Sid's spin class the other day, Sid, your sister, obviously, who's in the room right now. And you were doing, or are you doing skier?
Yes.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah.
So as we all were biking our little legs on the bike, whatever, it still was very hard because Sid kicks our butts. You were ski-erging the whole time.
I was ski-erging the whole time.
Would you say that you're in the best shape of your life right now? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I'm not going to lie.
I'd say college, like I took a beating in college, like just on my body, but like, I'm going to get there.
Yeah, but
like,
I see your videos. You're working out in the morning. I see you with the weights. I see you in Sid's class. Like you're killing it and you're moving your body.
Thank you. Yeah. No, yeah. I do try to. And like my plan is to get to the point where I'm doing it consistently every day. And it doesn't even have to be like getting stronger, like looking bigger, like just taking care of my body every single day.
Because
I think we like neglect just really like taking care of our bodies.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And we just like pound them.
Yeah, we do. We literally do. Yeah. Really quick, I want to go back and then we're going to have you share a few perspectives on a few write-ins. I want to talk about just the people that you're impacting and then we'll obviously talk about where you go from here. But the people that you've been impacting, like you are impacting so, so, so many people. But what are they saying to you in return for like sharing your story, sharing all these things that you're learning, sharing how to go up and down? I saw the escalator one the other day, just things that people think like, no, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. And you show them actually, yeah, you can.
Totally.
What are they saying back to you?
There's been a ton of people that have had like either like cancer or like a really life altering injury or something of that type that reach out to me and say, you know, this is what I had go on. And I'm so thankful for your videos and like showing me that I can still go out and live my life, like despite the wheelchair, despite my ailment, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's always really powerful. The most powerful thing to me is I've had a couple people. There's this one guy named Juan in particular from Argentina who reached out to me and he sent me a video and he said, I got this technique from you. And like, it's climbing stairs, like with my spasms. And he did the same thing. And he sent me a video and he was like, just so grateful. He said, like, thank you so much. Like sending a big hug.
Aww.
And I was like, I literally just cried. I was like, this is so sweet. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to see. Cause I like, obviously I have a spinal cord injury, but I have a very unique, situation. And mm-hmm. like the way I'm able to move my body is very particular. And this one guy from Argentina was like, yeah, like brother, like this is the same way that I've got it going on. And like, you really helped me out. And so that was like crazy. I was like, I found the one guy in the world that like needed this method.
And you reached him.
And he used it and I reached him. Yeah. And it was, he's across the globe, you know?
And just that video that you put out that you one day were like, I think someone would care about this. Like, I think somebody's going to be impacted by this. Like, I just love also hearing your perspectives on like social media doesn't have to be so negative. Social media is only negative in the way that you make it. And I think when you use social media to compare yourself or to say like, look at how amazing my life is. Sorry. I think that's just as bad. So I think the realer you can be, the more impactful you are. And you can impact people that you can find in the smallest nook and cranny across the globe in Argentina to say like, you impacted me, you changed my life, and thank you for that. Like, how freaking amazing is that?
Crazy.
And now you're probably like, I have so many plans for what's ahead, right? Totally. What do you think you're going to do with all of this? Because you're only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, what's your plan as far as you can see right now? Because we know, none of us know our next steps, really, like in our plan. But as far as you can see.
I can see really far.
Oh, I like that. You tell me so I can get help.
Yeah. Just spinal cord injury as a whole has been really, the funds for like everything that we need has been really lacking for a long time. Like Christopher Reeves, Superman, got a spinal cord injury and he was like the first one to like put money into it.
Oh, wow.
And like, we've been running off like some of that money, you know, like a lot of that money, like, and the resources are just scattered everywhere. And I want to condense everything and put it in a super accessible place, put it in a Spanish, you know, like only 10% of the world like speaks English. Like there's all these different populations of people that really need help. And I'm sure like spinal cord injury resources are even less developed in other places. So, like making information for healthy living accessible for spinal cord injuries, but then also creating products that we really need that people haven't had the money for in the future. And like, how am I going to do all that? Like just through social media and sharing my story and making sure that I can make my story accessible to as many people as possible and figuring out like, you know, how people need to hear about it. Because I know people are interested in what living in a wheelchair is like. I just need to figure out how to send the message to them so that they're like, yeah, this is like, I can get down with this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to happen.
It's
yeah.
It's everybody, I feel like, is just interested in people that are different, right? In any way, shape or form. So you're touching people that are, whether they're in a wheelchair or they're not, and they're just, you know, battling whatever it is, even me who is battling something completely different. But it's like, you touched me the minute I saw your social media. I was like, Sid, we're having Mason on. Like, I don't care. I'm like, it's happening right now. Like where it's happening, right? Like you impact people no matter where they are, and your perspective can be applied to anything. And that is impact. And that is amazing. You have to remember too, that your impact is wider than what you're speaking directly to. It's much bigger than that. So keep fighting and pushing in that and like doing what you're doing. Cause it's crazy, like crazy. Even just seeing, I look at your videos and see all the people that are commenting and seeing all the people that are sharing and that are like having their lives impacted. And I also can't wait to share your page with other people who I know who need to see this right now. Yeah. So just you keep doing the amazing things that you're doing. Cause if you're 20 and you're doing all of this, I can't even imagine when you turn like 50, what you have done.
Yeah.
That's like crazy. That's like chills right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thank you for being so open about everything too. And I know it's hard to, I'm maybe assuming too, but it's hard to talk to it over and over again, probably. Right. Like, and as hearing people that ask you like what happened, like that makes me feel icky too. So like, thank you for being open and willing to like, say like, hey, this is my story. And this is why I'm telling you this, because I'm telling you how I got forward and move forward. Not because I'm telling you to tell you, because people want information, but people want to know, how can I get to the other side? How can I see more change in perspective? So thank you for like being open to that. I get a ton of advice write-ins, and a few of them are related. A few of them are not, but it's all about perspective. So I picked three that I think people need a little help and perspective on. The first one is really, really tough. It's going to be tough to read, but it's about complexity of grief. So I'm going to share these three. Okay. This one says, my dad passed away from a decade-long battle against alcoholism. He passed away during the height of COVID, so he was isolated a lot, which is a turn that heightened his drinking. Though lots of time and research went into it, I have found peace and understanding that addiction is truly just an illness. How do I not feel guilty for not being there for him more when he was struggling? Perspective, right? Like thinking back on something that's so hard, and this is grief. I don't know if you want to give your input first, and then I'll give mine.
Yeah. If you've got it.
Oh, you want me to go?
I mean, I can.
You go ahead. Okay. You start. I usually let the guests start and then I input.
Sounds good. First of all, I just want to start by saying like, my story is in no way like shape or form, like trying to like cut down or anything. That's really tragic. And I feel for you. but grief in my life has showed up obviously in my spinal cord injury and losing the ability to walk. And, you know, I've also had some relationships with people who have depression that I have literally done everything that I could to try to help them and give them resources and to get them out of it. And none of it was, it's none of it did anything like for them. And like, no matter how hard you try in some cases, like it's a losing battle. And so like, I just want to start by saying that, and like addiction is very serious, and there, in some cases you just can't win, and you cannot blame yourself for that, because we all have great hearts, especially with a family member like that. You know, I don't know yeah. if I need to no, say that, the second
that's,
part.
I know. I think that's beautiful. Yeah. I was just going to say too, like ditto everything that you said, and there's boundaries that you had to have set, I think, between you and what you allowed in your life. And with someone struggling with addiction, I feel like we can't sit here and be like, oh, I would have helped them more, done that more, changed what I did. You can't look back on that. You had boundaries set. There were probably at times, sometimes people who are battling addiction, they make choices maybe that they wouldn't make the same of when they're sober or whatever it is, right? So you set your own boundaries too, and you can't harm yourself for not doing X, Y, or Z, when in reality, the addiction, that's a sickness. Like, you can't control that, regardless if maybe you would have given them one more like hug and said like, I'm there for you. That wouldn't have changed the sickness that was already taking over. So yeah. You have to try to remember that perspective. We can always sit in the past, like in our minds, and be like, I wish I would have done this. I wish I had this. I wish that. You can't control any of that anymore. So how to heal yourself? Move forward, make change. That's yeah. what I think too. And think positively about it.
Totally.
Yeah. As hard as it is. Yeah. Thank you for responding to that one, because that was the hardest one. So I was going to start with that one. I have two more. One is about dating. One is about friends and perspective. So this one says, friends too late. Sid, I love the show. I'm in college and I've been having a hard time with friends recently. I'm a junior this year, so I've been struggling with feeling like it's too late to make friends, as everyone around me seems to already have a solid friend group of people that they hang out with and are close with. I'm feeling very insecure about this, and I don't know how to put myself out there or feel like I have a really good group of friends I can lean on. Any advice?
I've got advice.
Well, I knew you did. I'm not going to lie. I picked this one because I was like, wait a minute. I got you.
Like, being a college freshman at 20 years old is like a little different. Everybody's like literally like 17 or 18. So like, all the freshmen are younger than me. Not that really has anything to do with it, but like, already I'm kind of separate. Also, I'm in a wheelchair. And like, being those two things, I really have to like be the one to like go out and like introduce myself and like kind of be bubbly. Also, just in friend groups in general, like, I have really high standards for like my like friends and like people that I want to be around. I want to be around. Yeah. Like,
freaking snaps. Like, yes, you should have high standards for your people.
Yeah, totally. And like, I want to like have value like mutually provided in a friendship, and like, mm-hmm. it should be like a really mutual thing. And what I'm going to do when I go back to college is go like seek out some like interests that I have, like in like clubs or like organizations, or even just like friends of friends that like I know do certain things, or like I met somebody at a party, they're really into like videography or photography. Like, and seek out those people, mm-hmm. and then kind of like look for friends there. Cause oftentimes too, like, people that are interested in things, especially in college, they're always looking for new people to like bring on board that are also interested in that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So I would say, like, in that situation, like, if you have something that you're interested in, that you're passionate about, go try to find some people like that. And like, if you're like, don't have that kind of thing at this point, just try to like put yourself out there a little bit more and be yourself and be confident in yourself, because people will be attracted to that. And even as a junior in college, like, I don't know, like, when I went back to college, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like high school all over again.
I don't
like,
know.
Everybody's just like trying to fit in, you know? And so like, being yourself is really important too.
Oh, I love all of that. I agree with every single thing you said, like finding people with like interests, putting yourself out there. It's hard to make friends no matter your age. And I think that's what we've learned, like talking about friendships and everything too. I agree. I would say do all the things Mason said, like go seek out people who are like already doing like things that you like, right? So like, maybe it's videography, maybe it's climbing, maybe whatever it is that you like to do, there you have it. It's an in right there. Just going to that thing and being like, oh, this person already likes this. Hey, you do this a lot. Like when, you know, where do you do it outside of this, et cetera, just making conversation. You will have to put yourself out there. That's the other thing. You will have to go do things when you maybe don't really feel like doing it. Like maybe it's a coffee club or like a book club meetup or whatever it is, and put yourself out there and asking the question that you want to ask for. So for example, if you meet somebody cool at a coffee shop and you're like, I really want to know this person, but I don't have their number or anything. Oh my God, so awkward. Hey, what's your number, by the way? Like, maybe we should meet up next week. Like I'm trying to find a good group of friends and I feel like you're super chill. So I'd love to like grab a coffee or like whatever, put yourself out there just one little hair further than you maybe want to. It'll make you uncomfortable for maybe 20 seconds and then it's done. And now you've already gotten in with a new person and someone probably like, holy crap, someone wants to hang out with me. How cool is this? I'm looking for friends too. And then you got an immediate bond. That's what I would say about that.
Totally. And yeah. I also feel like as far as like putting your number out there, like if you put your number out there and then like, oh no, it's like, clearly, like you wouldn't want to hang out with that person in the first place. Like, so
bad vibes.
just don't even go there. Like, you figured it out like way earlier than you could have otherwise.
You're lucky.
Yeah, you're lucky. Just consider yourself lucky. Exactly.
Exactly. No, and it's never too late to make friends. I feel like I'm still like, I'm making friends this year in the year of 26, and I'm sure I'm going to keep making friends in the year of 30 and 40 and 50. Like, it is completely normal to look around and be like, oh my God, I don't have like what they have. I don't have that big group of friends. Well, how do you know that that big group of friends isn't just very surface level friends? You don't know that. You don't need a million friends. You need a few good ones. And that's truly what my belief has been, as especially as I mature. So don't put so much pressure on it. And know that other people are feeling the same exact way. Okay. Final question. This is a dating related question, just because a ton of my write-ins are dating related. I know I was telling you this before. I'm like,
we should have talked more about that.
I'm like, God, dang it. No, I'm going to do this one and then we'll see what we think. I haven't read this one in full, so I'm very curious to see, but I saw Thanksgiving in it and I'm like, oh God, I got to get this one out quick and fast. Hey, Sid, I don't really know how this all works, but it's the first major holiday, Thanksgiving. Not that we really even celebrate that day, just more of a day to spend with loved ones without my now separated boyfriend. So she's broken up with him. We started dating in early April and decided to take a break at the end of September. Lots of personal things on both sides contributed to this. Anyway, he worked tonight while I was driving back from surprising my parents out of state, and I just wanted to see him tonight. I don't want to blow up his phone, and there are only so much I can write in my personal journal that I want to say to him. So I don't really know what to do now that I've typed all of this out, because I know you really get a ton of these messages a day and probably don't respond to all of them. I guess my main question is, should I just text you what I want to text him? I don't know how to annoy him. I don't want to annoy him. I just want to talk to him. He is my peace and my safety. And it's 4:40 in the morning where I'm living. And I can't stop thinking about him. I know, right? You're like, God,
sorry.
It's brutal. And I feel for you. And thank you for having the like energy to write this in and like ask a question of like, what do I do? Like, am I supposed to just write to you instead of him? She's talking about this write-in, right? So like, I have this number. It's 612-470-7569. I literally have to like see it in my little like photographic memory to say it out loud. But talking about what should she do in this situation? Like, she's obviously thinking about somebody she broke up with. She's trying to figure out what to do with it. Where do I go? This is hard. I think there's a reason you guys took a break. It sounds like they dated from April to September and a lot of things happened in between. I would not reach out to him, especially at 4:40 in the morning. I would not. And especially around a holiday. Holidays are hard. It's when we get a little bit worried. We get like in our heads. We feel like we want that loving energy. It's quieter, right? Because you're with family. As much as you can, avoid reaching out, especially at like weird times and around holidays. That's my first initial thought.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have an initial thought.
No, I definitely like just act super chill about it. Yeah.
I know, like it's the like trying to be chill, right? And like you don't want to pretend, but soon enough you'll pretend long enough that you're like, wait, I am chill about this situation. Yeah. That's kind of what I think about. There's probably reasons that you guys ended. There's probably a reason that tonight isn't a good night to talk. And especially if, let's see, so we're in November, 2 months ago you guys stopped talking. I think waiting maybe like a week in the middle of a day, maybe on like a Saturday, you say, hey, I've been thinking about you lately. I would love to have a conversation. I don't really know where you stand, but I would love to talk to you and just like maybe get my feelings all out there just so I feel like I can either have closure or understand where your head is at. That's what I would do.
Did she say how old she was?
She didn't say how old she was. No. Mm-mm.
I mean, nope. I don't know. Like, I can't really give advice if you're older than college age, honestly.
I know. But, well, no, but, you can.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess like as far as like older than college age, especially like if you have a situation like that where like, I don't know if this really applies, but I heard recently like whoever cares less wins.
Oh.
And like, I don't know.
That's a hot take.
Kind of how it's been showing up in my life.
Really?
And like, it's been that way for a long time. But I also think it's a very like young person.
Yeah. That's
mentality. But mm-hmm. like, it applies. I can tell you're like 24.
I think it does in different ways. No, I think it does. I understand what you're saying. It's more like the, you know, when someone here, how I think of it is in my age of like 26 and higher is like when someone says respect a boundary, like I need space, let's say, or like, I don't know if I see a future and that person, like, let's say the other person, I said that to you and you didn't respect my boundary. Like I'm chilling and I'm moving away and I'm going to keep moving away that direction. And I know now like my decision was correct. Right. I pulled back. I'm now over there because I'm like, you didn't respect the boundary. I said I needed space and now I'm irritated and pissed and I'm going to move on. Right. Like, I feel like the winning in quotes is like moving on and like being able to move forward in life. And that still applies. It's just like, it's the same similar mentality. It's just like the like exiting college mentality of that same thing. You
I
know
think,
what I mean?
No, I think like mutual respect is the biggest thing too.
Totally.
That I found like to make something actually work. Mm-hmm. Mutual respect is the biggest thing.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you need that mutual respect. Yeah, otherwise totally. You're not going to be on the same page whatsoever.
In any relationship, but especially in a romantic relationship.
Yeah. Well, I hope this girl figures this out. I hope all of you found something out of these situations. They're all different, but they're all about perspective and like thinking a little differently on something. So I thought they'd be kind of fun to read. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I know. Totally. And I saw Thanksgiving on there. So I was like, ooh, I need to do this one like ASAP.
1000%. I have one last thing to say.
Oh, I love this.
About the woman who lost her father to... is that you kind of spoke to it a little bit, but we beat ourselves up in saying, you know, like the people around us will say, you need to take care of yourself. And as somebody who is super, super selfless, and it sounds like this person is as well, you take that as I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. I didn't do enough. Like, this is my fault. People think that I'm not strong enough to do it on my own. When in reality, your father like would have wanted you to prioritize yourself and make sure that you're getting along well in life because he would have wanted you to have the best life that you could have and to take care of yourself and look out for your future. And we can get really, really caught up and lost in looking out for another person to the point where it just eats away at us.
Absolutely.
And that's like what the people around us are always trying to tell us. And people with really, really big hearts will understand that it's hard to agree with them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you for adding that too, because I completely agree. It's that's very tough. And he would have wanted you to move forward. He would have wanted that for you. He would have wanted you to put yourself first. That's what any parent would want. It's what anybody who loves somebody else would want too, you know? So you have to remember that. Thank you for giving your perspective on those. Cause I know they're all over the place and the write-ins are all over the place. And I just want to say, if you have taken the time to do a write-in, I will always get to all of them. And thank you for being patient, but also thank you for being vulnerable and writing these things. And when you don't know the answer, and I'm not an expert, right, in all things, but I am like an older sister. And so I will be and act like your older sister too. And I will always give other inputs. Thank you, Mason, for giving yours today. On any situation it is, especially if I feel like I am able to give that perspective. If I'm not, I will find an expert that can give you the perspective that you're looking for. Deal? Deal. Okay, crew. Mason, where can everybody find you? Where can they get all of your info? Where can we all be following you intensely on social media waiting for your next move? I know, because I know I am.
Just on my name, Mason_Brandstrader on anything, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. All over.
I'll put your handles in the podcast description too, so people can find it as well. I'll put that in there. Thank you for sharing everything that you did today. Thank you for sharing your perspective. Thank you for sharing your growth, because it is insanely impactful. Like, just seeing and hearing, like, I feel like I'm there. I'm such a photographic person in my brain. So when I hear a story, I'm picturing the whole thing, you know, and I feel like I can see and feel your growth and just feel your purpose radiating. And I think that this gives so many people the opportunity to reflect inward and be like, what even is my purpose? I want to figure out my purpose, because Mason figured out his purpose and is sharing that with the world and making, honestly, frankly, the world a better place. And it sounds so cheesy, but it's true.
Thank
truly.
You.
So thank you for that. Everybody at Candid Sid. Yes, that's my handle, but also at Well Said Podcast on social. If you need to find me, I will tag Mason and all of the things. You'll be able to find it in the description. If you have a write-in, I already said the number, but remember in my bio, it's the get advice button. You'll see it right away. You can type there if you're not in the US or Canada, if the number is not working for you. Okay, crew. Mason, thank you again for being here. I cannot wait to share this. This is going to be such a good episode. I hope you loved it all. Appreciate you. Sid's in the house too.
Woo! Two cents.
All right, Drew. See you later. Bye.